I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
On the pandemic front, today the CDC updated its COVID guidance to loosen a number of its health recommendations. CBS News chief medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook is here now with the details. Good evening to you, doctor. So what is the biggest change?
Margaret, the CDC is trying to consolidate and simplify its guidance and remind us the pandemic is not over and a lot more people still need to get boosted. One important change has to do with shortening mask wearing after being infected with COVID. You still need to isolate for 5 days, but instead of then having to wear a mask around others for 5 more days, you can do a home test on day 6 and day 8. If they're negative and you have no symptoms, or if symptoms are improving and you have no fever without fever-reducing medication, then you can stop wearing a mask around others.
Well, now that's a big change, according to the CDC, about how to deal with COVID. I mean, they've already put kind of a limit on how and when you might need to wear a mask. That was CBS as it was reporting on the new CDC guidelines regarding this new strain of COVID going around and how the CDC is suddenly, I would say, awaken, or at least realizes, boy, we don't go through what we did last time. All the ire and the anger from those who said, you're traumatizing our children. You're locking our elderly into nursing homes that become death camps, and we're going to change and redo everything. Well, they've already lost faith with the American public in many ways. The CDC, the NIH, and a lot of it could be tied directly to Dr. Fauci and his underlings as they pushed everything from don't need masks, don't worry about it, to yeah, you should get a mask. And, oh, yeah, I did lie about you not needing a mask because we weren't sure we had enough of them available. And now there's a concern now that's out about these N95 masks that they could also cause more health issues because of you breathing through those consistently for a long period of time, that they might actually end up causing you additional health risk. Now, I know a lot of folks are going to want to see that and, hey, see it, but these adverse effects associated with the so-called N95 mask, which are supposedly the cream of the crop mask, not the little cloth mask, not the one with your sports team logo, not the one you put around your chin when you're smoking or talking or eating, or that you hang from your mirror and then you put it back on when you're going into the store because they demand it. They're talking about, and this is from a source, the National Library of Medicine, part of the NIH group, National Center for Biotech Information, and they're stating adverse effects associated with the use of N95 masks among healthcare workers at COVID-19 care units. Now, this particular study was done in Iraq. Doesn't change how it happened, according to the NIH again, if you're going to accept it. They pointed out that 122 healthcare workers, ages 20 to 58 years of age, from various healthcare settings around this area of Iraq, from January to August 2020, did enroll in a cross-sectional study. They were evaluating psychological variables, blood pressure, heart rate, oxygen saturation, all being recorded before they put on the N95 mask and then after taking it off. What did they find? The incidence of adverse effects such as headache, difficulty breathing, redness, irritation, dizziness, all reported as a number at the end of a work shift. Almost everyone, when they finished their work shift because they had to wear it while they were dealing with the patients, When they took them off, they had headaches, they were dizzy, having trouble getting their breath. In fact, healthcare workers who put on the face mask showed signs of all this headache, breathing difficulties, and itching in exposed areas higher than those who were not involved with it. So they're saying, again, the N95 mask negatively impacts variables of healthcare providers and could lead to excessive exhaustion after long shifts. Well, you know what? They could be exhausted simply working long hours in one of those care units. We have to accept that. But reference the mask itself. If you did what they told you to do and they put that on your kids next, keep that in mind. So this new COVID-19 out there, and as I repeated in the previous segment, hour, I should point out, if you missed it, you can always pull it up at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Biden is already pushing pharmaceutical companies, come up with a new vaccine, one that really works. In other words, the other one didn't work. We know it didn't, right? Do we know the one they're coming up with will work, or are we just going to be giving more money to Big Pharma as they turn this stuff out? I'm not knocking vaccines. I'm not knocking the effort to find something. I have no doubt they have saved lives and they benefit some people. But it's not one size fits all. But that's not the way the government looked at the first time around COVID. I wouldn't expect it to be different this time. But again, back to Dr. LaPook. Again, John LaPook, who was on that CBS report as we began, he's telling the news anchor, in addition to what he said a moment ago, I've just got some new COVID information direct from CDC.
I just confirmed this with the CDC a few minutes ago, that if you are exposed to somebody with COVID, you no longer have to quarantine whether you are vaccinated or not. However, you do need to wear a mask for 10 days around others and get tested at day 5 after exposure or sooner if you have symptoms. And Margaret, this should lessen disruption in schools and elsewhere.
It should, unless we get certain county executives in some areas who want to lock down everything again. All right, let me set the date for you and everything again, because I got so wrapped up in the program, I rolled right past it. This is August 31, 2023. Can you believe it? End of the month of August. We are in the second hour of Larry Connors USA. We now air 2 hours, 6 to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here for you. And while we're on the air, video of the show streaming at News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and, of course, on Rumble. So we have a concern about the new COVID pandemic, or will it be a pandemic or just a little blip on the screen, just like flu season normally is. I was talking to relatives yesterday, and 2 out of 3 relatives I talked to were having or had experiences of not feeling well, coughing, itching, sore throat, temperature. I had all of those except temperature a couple of weeks ago. COVID, flu, what? Who cares? It didn't kill me, and I didn't see any reason to go to the doctor and get all concerned about it. Now, I'm not telling you to follow my advice. You do what you think is best for you and your family. But here's another issue that could and is an existing pandemic that is not related to disease. It's reported in the Good Morning Slap in the Face, Larry. Good morning from the New York Times. The politics of crime. Did you know politics were behind crime? Well, hell yes, I did. In many ways, I did. But they point this out. Here's how this piece begins. Republican politicians often treat it as an established fact. Where they are in power, crime is low. Where Democrats are in power, crime is high. And then Donald Trump, in an interview with Tucker Carlson last week, said Republican-run cities are doing very nicely because they arrest people when you have crimes. There's the difference. You may still have crimes, and they point this out, in red city urban areas, as you do in blue city urban areas and in rural areas. But then they want to say party rule does not drive crime. It does if you're going to give them no bail and let them go on any and all charges. Are you listening, Illinois and others? You ease up and you don't enforce the laws you have, you're going to have more crime. That's how that pandemic starts and you escalate it. But they point out here, take the 20 largest cities, 16 run by Democrat mayors at 12.3 murders for every 100,000. Three Republican-run cities in the top 20, Jacksonville, Fort Worth, and Oklahoma City, had a rate of 11.4. Adding, according to the New York Times, there's a difference, but it's small. And, of course, he gives a reference as to why. Well, because the variation has nothing to do with if it's Democrats or Republicans. It does. This is an idiotic report. If they know they're going to get away with a crime in one city more so than another, what do you think's going to happen? The same thing as you have a school post, no guns allowed in the school. And somebody wants to shoot up a school, where do you think they're going to go? Or that donut bakery shop the other day in California said, we don't want police coming in with guns because they scare our patrons. So they put up a sign. No one, even police officers, allowed in with guns. If there's a donut shop down the street where cops can gather and have coffee and get donuts, and they're welcome, and somebody's looking to rob a donut shop, riddle me this. Which donut shop are they going to go to? Well, that'd be the one that has the tastiest donuts, Larry. No, it would not. They'll go where nobody's going to be there to stop them. And then in addition to the politics of crime in America, we have the hate in America surrounding today's politics. And from that issue comes a shocking statement, I'd say it's at least shocking, from Tucker Carlson regarding those trying to destroy Donald Trump.
They fabricated a lot about what happened on January 6th in order to impeach him again. It didn't work. He came back, then they indicted him. It didn't work. He became more popular. Then they indicted him three more times, and every single time his popularity rose. So if you begin with criticism, then you go to protest, then you go to impeachment, now you go to indictment, and none of them work, what's next? I mean, graph it out, man. We're speeding toward assassination, obviously, and no one will say that, but I don't know how you can reach that conclusion.
That's a pretty powerful statement. Now, I debated whether using it, but he said it. I'm not going to ignore it. There will be some saying, well, you're adding fuel to the fire, Larry, simply by doing it. Well, you can't ignore it. He's not the first to suggest that could happen. Certainly Trump is aware of it. But Carlson did continue in this interview that he was giving on this particular piece. He talked about you have to also look at the Trump opponents.
They have decided, permanent Washington, both parties have decided that there's something about Trump that's so threatening to them, they just can't have him. I mean, they're putting him on trial in March of next year in the J6 case, which basically consists of trying to send him to prison for the rest of his life for complaining about the last election. That's literally what it is. Again, if this were happening in Moldova, the State Department would issue an all-hands-on-deck order to let the world know this is not a legitimate government. And yet our government is doing it. It's hard to overstate how bad this is. And I don't know where it's going.
Neither of us do. But we do know what they're trying to do. And that was very clear in Georgia when they got that mugshot. But even MSNBC said, some experts are saying that might not have been a good idea.
So Governor Kasich, Republican consultant Fred O'Connell told NBC News, quote, the Democrats are likely going to regret the Trump mugshot politically. Governor Trump's already creating merch with this mugshot. His team seems to think they can pretty much turn lemons into lemonade every single time, right? But do you think if it comes down to Trump versus Biden in the general and voters are looking at the mugshot and 90 plus criminal charges, that's going to go over well with those who aren't his most ardent supporters?
Well, Anna, first of all, Donald Trump's not going to be elected president. I don't care if he's the nominee. He's not going to be elected president.
Well, that was a pretty clear statement from John Kasich, who had run for president back in 2016 along against Trump. Kasich is a former governor, Republican. But I'm going to give him credit on something else, though. Aside from his prediction that's going to go down, as they had also said, Trump's not going to be elected president. Kasich brings to the point the hatred that does exist in America today.
Let me just make an observation. Americans who just can't wait for Donald Trump to go to jail. And there are Trump people who just are so angry at the system that they think the system of justice doesn't work in America. And nobody's listening to anybody else. And it's all dominated by anger. Anna, I become convinced, and I'm just going to get people stirred up. I think we need some sort of a spiritual revival in this country. I don't know what's going to get people out of their silos, and I don't know what's going to quell the anger, which is now turning into hatred, one side against the other. We've seen spiritual movements before work. In the Gilded Age, at the turn of the 20th century, there was a time when the robber barons ran everything. And the social gospel movement was born. And it changed America from an I country into a we country for about 60 or 70 years. I don't know how we're going to stop this hatred.
Yeah, how are we going to stop it? Well, I do think we're at a point that we probably do need to get down on our knees.
I don't know how we're going to stop this hatred. And let me just say this to you. I have been against Donald Trump for 7 years, not 7 months or not 1 year or whatever. I've been against him from the beginning. I look at him as someone who's been made in the image of God. I don't hate Donald Trump. I want justice to come to Donald Trump and accountability. But we live in a world today where it's sort of that anger and hatred and glee at somebody else's misfortune or bitterness to what the other side thinks. Where has this taken our country, Anna? Seriously, we love America. My kids are going to have to inherit America. And what is it going to be like for them? Are we going to be divided like we ended up when we went actually into a civil war back? I mean, this is deeply concerning to me.
It should be concerning to all of us. Whether or not you think John Kasich is a good Republican or not, he is an ever-Trumper. Those points cannot be denied. I don't care your political stripe. We cannot have this hatred continue, and we cannot allow people to continue to look for ways to divide us. Is it going to take another civil war? Is it going to take another 9/11 to bring us back together for how many days before we start ripping into each other again? All right, still to come in this hour, we're going to give you some updates on some of the damage from the hurricane that hit Florida, and also what's happening with the China economy. And what's happening with Mitch McConnell, as a matter of fact? Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine.
too many times. You can call me baby, you can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So let's get you an update on now Tropical Storm Idalia at last report, and it's going to continue to diminish. It hit, of course, the Bend area of Florida, as they often refer to it, yesterday morning, and was moving ashore at that point as a Cat 3, but quickly downgraded to 2 and then began to break up. Parts of Alabama also affected. And now it's moved all the way up, pounding the southeast Atlantic coast. Flash flood warnings all the way up to North Carolina. And then in Florida behind, they're still dealing with a lot of debris, and you can understand they have shredded buildings, roofs taken off, waist-high flood water, and it's warned that that could be dangerous for days to come because it's such polluted water, sewage and everything else mixed in with it. I've covered such hurricanes after they've gone through, and basically we're in a boat going from house to house looking inside, and we're just about door jam level at the top and sometimes having to duck under it to get inside and look around. You'll find a lot of snakes in the water and everything else in there as well. But they're still trying to go through some of these homes in the high waters to see if they find anyone. So far, and I say so far, the deaths are minimal, not to the people who lost loved ones, nor the ones who actually lost their lives, but considering the damage caused by Idalia, it's minimal in the sense that we've had anywhere from maybe a dozen, many of them not hurricane-related. Many of them were storm-related traffic deaths. 28 Florida counties did issue evacuation orders. And it actually hit, when it came ashore, pretty much within the projected level. The range, I should say. It was originally, when it was near Cozumel, Mexico, going up the eastern edge of the Gulf, the western edge of Florida. They were already projecting landfall about somewhere near Keaton Beach area, the Big Bend area region of Florida. And they're saying it did hit within 10 miles of what they got. In fact, Governor DeSantis acknowledged these forecasts were pretty doggone accurate, particularly compared to what happened with Hurricane Ian. Now, again, a lot of folks want to rush forward and say, climate change, because of this, this one simple fact. This is considered the most powerful hurricane to slam into the Big Bend region in more than 100 years. And they want to blame it all on climate change. We debunked that in the previous hour. I'll just add here that, again, a group of scientists who are bent on dealing with policy, not politics, regarding climate change, they say you cannot blame this hurricane nor others on, quote, climate change. Remember how fast they were rushing forward to blame the fires in Maui and what happened on climate change? Well, there was a hurricane, there were high winds bringing down trees, bringing down power lines, but the power lines had not been basically de-electrified. They were still high-powered lines, and when they fell into an area where they could catch fire to something else, they did. And looking again at some of these folks who are still going to be without power for who knows how many more days. There have been isolated tornadoes and again flooding. The water along the North Carolina area could be up to 4 feet. I've got relatives in that area and down between there and Jacksonville, Florida, as well. I think the reports I've gotten from everyone is they're all safe, didn't lose anything, maybe a few shingles. Others, well, for others, as it was described by the administrator of Pasco County, north of Tampa, he said, we got buzz sawed. And quite honestly, while the effects could have been worse, we definitely took it on the chin. So he's trying to look at the better side, that the whole area wasn't wiped out. Oh, and by the way, one of the deaths occurred when someone is trying to cut down a tree and it fell on him. That's one of those things, unfortunately, will happen. If you don't know what you're doing, you're bringing down a tree. And again, in this case, the Florida power companies did shut off the power to their lines before the hurricane moved in. So that reduced the possibility of fire, contrary to what they did not do in Maui. All right, turning the issue with China. We're finding, as of the 17th of this month, there's a Chinese conglomerate and real estate developer titled Evergrande filing for bankruptcy. It owes the investors $28-plus billion. It includes American bond investors. They say losses are guaranteed. And this piece, written as an opinion piece in Politics, states, the writer being Kenneth Raposa, Wall Street used to love China. It was on the cusp of rivaling, and some say one day surpassing, the securities market in the U.S. Everyone is there. He points out Goldman Sachs set up there now, BlackRock is there, J.P. Morgan. They all have offices in China, serving the locals after decades of taking U.S. capital and happily putting it into Chinese stocks and bonds by the hundreds of billions of dollars. And Raposa adds in his piece, with these powerful banks set up in town, Chinese customers get sexy West brand names as asset managers. Beijing gets free lobbying against financial restrictions. He adds that Silicon Valley big boys like GSR Ventures, also in China, private equity giants, KKR from New York, have enough money in China to sink a battleship. He says all of their risks are going up. Again, this is a piece by Kenneth Raposa. I tried to get him booked today, but we got started on it a little bit late. Kenneth Raposa is a senior contributor to Forbes magazine, so he knows what he's talking about. Also a former Wall Street Journal staff reporter. He said, right now, billions of dollars, as he's quoting one person who's familiar with a lot of what's happening there. This would be Senator Shaheen, Democrat, New Hampshire. Billions of dollars from the retirement accounts of federal government employees, like our military, are currently invested in China. And they prop up companies that threaten American interests and values. She adds, as if she needed to, that is unacceptable. We have thrown so much into China and become so reliant upon them, we have made ourselves a victim of China. We absolutely just, like walking into the lion's den, say, here I am, turn them loose, I'm ready. I know I'm going to die, but let's go. Over in the House, Wisconsin Congressman Gallagher, Republican, who runs the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, which, by the way, is a new committee created just this year to highlight the risk we're facing with China. Congressman Gallagher went after BlackRock the 1st of August in a letter asking, what do you have invested in China? Did the same thing with Vanguard and State Street. that they're investing and not really telling investors and lawmakers that some of their money is going to China. In fact, Gallagher was joined by Republican Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, who got another bill introduced that, if it was passed, if it is passed, would force public pension funds, college endowments, big non-government organizations to sell their China holdings or lose their tax exemption status. That is a big whip to use against them. Now, again, Kenneth Raposa, former Wall Street Journal reporter, now writing for Forbes, said Wall Street was forced to sell dozens of Chinese defense contractors publicly traded in Shanghai and Hong Kong back in 2021. They had 1 year to dump them, and they did. He adds, but since then, no other companies have been banned from investments. So we let them get back into business with them. Some of the Silicon Valley industries, they even have some of their stocks traded in China. You can't really import their solar panels made from what they make in China, but you can give the same company a couple billion dollars of American investment capital, and that is okay. That makes no sense, does it? Of course it doesn't. Money talks, and in this case, it's doing a hell of a job talking. Coming up, the issue with Mitch McConnell, his second incident happening yesterday, and this raises a lot of questions about not just him, but others we have still serving in office. Stand by, please. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, you know, you watch what happened with Mitch McConnell yesterday, in case you haven't seen it. It's the second time in recent weeks. I believe the preceding was in July, as a matter of fact. He's asked a question. He's holding a news conference in both cases. And yesterday he's asked a question, are you going to run again? And he starts an answer, and then he just goes silent. And his whole demeanor, the eyes, the facial expression, looks as if he got transported out of the room. He's not there. Not there in many ways. there have been jokes and so forth made about it the first time and again, and there are a lot of jokes made, of course, about Joe Biden, how competent is he to continue serving. One of the most recent statements from the White House came after he tripped over that sandbag at the U.S. Air Force graduation back in June. His fall caught on live camera, and many quickly started explaining and speculating what was behind it. And the White House communication director said, oh, the president's just fine. And they blamed it on the sandbags being placed there. Well, obviously, they shouldn't have been placed there in his path. And we're all, if we're lucky enough, going to grow old. That's better than the alternative, to an extent, for some people, as long as the life is a quality life. And we all have to recognize, as even Clint Eastwood had said at one time, know your limits. Man should know his limits. Well, sometimes we recognize them, but we're going to ignore them. Or we think we can pass by. And especially if you're in a position of power, control of a company, you serve in politics, until they kick me out of here, I'm here. This incident with Mitch McConnell just yesterday, he just freezes. His mouth is closed. He's looking off to who knows where. And one of his aides comes up to him and asking, did you hear the question? Okay. And getting no reaction. And another aide comes over. And then he, 30-plus seconds, he begins, note that they're there and kind of gives some kind of reaction that I'm okay. And the female aide to him stated, when you ask a question, can you ask it louder? It wasn't the issue he couldn't hear the answer. It wasn't even the issue that he couldn't formulate an answer. He was just gone. Comatose. Marjorie Taylor Greene, quick to point out that he's not fit for office after he froze up for a second time. Well, I understand her point, and that does raise an issue, whether or not you want to side with a man, be it McConnell on the Republican side, or Biden on the Democrat side, or Dianne Feinstein. Here's the point. We do not have, at this time, any age limit for politicians. We are living longer and longer. Biden has his 81st birthday coming up this November. He would be the oldest serving U.S. president as of that date. Mitch McConnell is already 81. And like I say, he froze up yesterday and for about 20 seconds, and then same thing happened back in July 2023. At that point, they had to kind of come up to him and just help walk him off the stage. Sir, would you like to go back to your office? And he kind of nodded, and they walked him off. Then you got Dianne Feinstein, 90 years of age. Fellow Democrats, even the New York Times, are questioning in their editorial board, can Feinstein, McConnell, and others of that age, can they fulfill the duties of their job? One of the more recent events, Feinstein began reading prepared remarks during a Senate appropriations hearing vote back in July, until her Democrat colleague stepped forward and just whispered to her, just say aye. They were simply asking for a vote, yay or nay, aye or no, however you want to respond. But she began reading some prepared remarks. So the question is being asked, obviously, can These incidents began to show and prompt the question, can politicians be too old to serve in a particular office? For anyone at doing anything, there reaches an age that you know you just can't perform. You can't do it the way you did. This job, what I'm doing here, I know people have asked, are you still doing that? I mean, yeah, right now I'm capable, but who knows tomorrow? I'm reading a piece that was written in The Conversation. It's an academic-type publication, basically. And the author is pointing out that I am a philosopher and ethicist, who studies ethics related to individual and societal aging. And these questions, can politicians be too old to serve in office, are the forefront of what I think about. Whatever view one takes on the ethics of age limits for politicians, voting remains the primary way to put those views into practice. He adds that the requirements for U.S. presidential candidates haven't changed since 1789, when the Constitution was written. At that time, and here's the difference that we're seeing, at that time, the average life expectancy in 1789 was 34 years of age. If you lived to be 34, you were considered kind of old. Of course, it also varied if they were free men or they were slaves. Their life expectancy as a slave often much less, but those who had it made and lived in the big house, they did have life easier. In some cases, they might have died because of too much drinking and eating and doing nothing else. Today, he points out, the average lifespan for an American is 79. But he also added that it is higher for folks like politicians, are those who are wealthy, and those who can afford advanced health care that others can't. And he adds that in the U.S., and you should probably know this from the Constitution, to be president, you have to be 35 years of age or older. And if you're going to serve in the House, you must be 25. If you're going to serve in the Senate, you must be at least 30. But there is no age limit at which you cannot serve. The requirements of your minimum age to be elected and to serve in those offices I just listed. But what about an age limit, not a term limit, an actual age limit? Term limits would put a lot of that issue to rest, clearly. But there's an increasing double-edged sword with term limits. No sooner does someone really get to understand how to make things work and get things passed and get their agenda forward and maybe help their constituents, and maybe they're termed out. They can't continue. They can run for another office but cannot stay in that one. Just as they're beginning to become experienced and actually of value. There's a 2022 YouGov poll reporting that 58% of Americans do want a maximum age for politicians. And those who support age limits say that politicians holding office should be no more than, are you ready for it? What do you think that max age should be? Well, this survey found 58% believe politicians holding office should be no more than 70 years old. That cut out Biden, McConnell, Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Donald Trump. In fact, they add, based on that, 71% of our current U.S. senators would have to leave office. We're living longer, having better lives. Is that a good idea? And then the difference as to your race, your ethnicity, how much does that add or detract? And does that also relate to wealth as to how much health care you can get or not get? Against that backdrop, I want to present to you as we turn the page, we take a look at a statement from a rock singer. I've always enjoyed his music, but his statement I'm going to read to you, I have to say that is one of the more absurd things I've heard come from your mouth. This 80s rock singer was appearing on Bill Maher's Club Random Podcast. John Mellencamp, also at one point known as Cougar, right? John Mellencamp made this statement. Only 1 to 2% of black people in America have it better than the slaves did 200 years ago. How can you even come close to making such a statement? Only 1 to 2% have lives better than slaves did 200 years ago? What does he consider the 1 or 2% that do have it better, and then all the rest that don't have it, that they're living just like slaves? We have blacks in office all across this nation. We have them in teaching profession. We have them serving in our military and space programs. We have them serving our nation in so many different ways and serving their families and various jobs. They may feel sometimes, man, I'm still working for the man, not getting what I should get. I understand that. Many of us, be black, white, yellow, Asian, have that thought. But you're not on a plantation. You're free to go about and do what you can in this country. Mellencamp claimed he wrote a song he never produced, blasting sports as another form of slavery. He said, I wrote a song I never recorded because I thought it was wrong. It was called From the Effing Cotton Fields to the Playing Fields. My point is that, yes, so what? Us as white people love to have black people entertain us. Maher disagreed, to his credit, and said a playing field is far better than a cotton field. I know my dad, as a child, worked with his dad alongside Southern blacks in cotton fields. They were not slaves at that point, but they were all doing the cotton field work, and my family, my dad's family, was as poor as anyone else at the point. Maher said, I would say that playing fields are a lot better than cotton fields. That's what I'd say about that. Maybe I'm crazy, John, but it seems like making no money as a slave picking cotton, not as good as playing left field for the Yankees. I think that's a pretty good comparison. Or playing on an NBA team. Or starring in a movie. I'm not discounting at all the horrors that slaves went through 200 years ago. We should not forget it. We should acknowledge it. But why are you wanting to put that yoke upon black Americans today? But again, John Mellencamp, also known as Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill and then Small Town, he said, oh, no, there's no doubt there's 1 or 2% of black people in America who have a better life. And Maher's response is, stop it. 1 or 2%? Mellencamp began to change. Oh, let's just say 10%. I'm just pulling the numbers out of my... Maher said, you know what? If that's where you're pulling them, that's where you should keep them. That I agree with. As always, thank you for listening. Spread the word. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.